We're finally starting this podcast. Dave and I have been sitting here talking for like the last 30 minutes.
Oh, longer than that.
Has it been longer than that?
Definitely.
Time flies when you're having fun. But eventually I was like, listen, I'm not having fun anymore. We need to start this podcast.
You said that? I thought I said that.
Actually, I think you did say that. And it wasn't actually that I wasn't having fun. It's just we need to get this podcast recorded.
We were having a great time.
Yeah. We were actually talking about...
Bro, if you and I could like... I don't know. Have there been like two kings? Is there like a dual kingship? Like if you and I could run the world...
What country didn't thrive with two presidents?
Right. That's what I'm saying. You show me any time that's ever failed.
Right. What...
I'm just saying.
What ship didn't set sail with two captains?
Or which one sank that had two captains?
Even better.
Because it's like, hey, if one dies, you have a backup captain.
Yeah, you're the backup. You're definitely Rufio. I'm the Peter Pan.
I'm totally fine being the backup captain.
Because that means
backup
that.
Captain is totally in the best position. Still captain, but like, oh, hey, that's not a backup captain problem you got there. That's a main captain problem.
Yeah.
Go talk to him. But if
it's like a backup quarterback. Still getting paid. Still get the
dude. Got the ring on the finger.
Still get the coops.
Yeah.
But if you have a question about the playbook, go talk to the
right. Also, maybe you come in and save the day. But this would be more like two starting quarterback situation.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Dude, I feel like if you and I ran the world, it would be awesome. We like how many times have we solved all the problems?
We would get assassinated so fast.
Yeah, dude. Oh, for sure. It,
but we'd become maybe possibly saints. That would be our ticket.
Dude, how legit would it be to be a martyr like later on?
Yeah,
it'd be rough for a minute.
Well, it depends on how long.
Or several minutes.
Or hours or days.
Yeah, okay. Look, there would be a period of roughness.
Yeah.
But then.
But like, the glory.
Once you got to heaven. Dude.
Yeah.
So I had a lunch today with Father Donovan.
Oh, and I know him.
Yeah, yeah. We went to Ireland with him.
Right.
He's awesome. We were talking about the martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
And... like they're the best. The martyrs are totally the coolest.
Yeah. What level, like in heaven? Like
you're definitely at a like you're
high level.
You have a nice terrace with a view. I mean, or something. Yeah. You know, you're like box seats, for sure. If you're a martyr,
presidential suit.
I mean, look, I'm not gonna say,
right?
But it's definitely box seats. Okay.
Fair enough.
But there's a monk at Clear Creek who's named Brother Miguel. Because his grandfather knew Blessed Miguel Pro, one of the Cristeros martyrs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just like very cool. Like,
Ray.
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome. So he grew up hearing stories about this guy, Miguel Pro, who like, you know, then eventually became Blessed Miguel mm-hmm. Pro. It would just be very cool.
My son, Jude, has a devotion to him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Blessed Miguel Pro, yeah.
Great glory story on Miguel Pro.
That's what was the seed of the love of Blessed Miguel Pro.
We've talked about it before, but if you don't know glory stories
for kids,
yeah, good. It's Holy Heroes. You know, they put out all these great CDs. There's actually a lot of good. There's several good podcasts now that kind of do the same thing, like high level dramatizations about the stories of the saints, which are awesome because a lot of them, like, I didn't know about this guy.
Mm.
Or this woman, you know, and now I really appreciate. I too have developed devotions or increased a devotion simply because of
glory stories.
Listening to glory stories or like some of these other podcasts.
Yeah. What is it? Sprouts, Catholic Sprouts.
That's one of them.
Yeah. But yeah, so we had to cut our conversation short, but we were talking some pretty good stuff about the structure of the church and. The parishes and things like that, which maybe someday we'll...
I'm telling you, man, we were going to save the world and the church.
Maybe the last podcast, we'll just have like a four-hour podcast. Our last Catholic Mantra podcast will be like a four-hour podcast. We'll be like, okay, guys.
Look.
I've been...
for 8 years, we've been holding back. Here it is. I'm going to totally ruin our reputation. Tonight.
Tonight.
This is it.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. Settle in.
Pour a scotch. Yeah.
Play, hit pause, get some popcorn.
Right, and some scotch. Also, if you're a leader of the church, we'd like you to tune out, please.
Yeah, or listen in. I've got some words for you. Either one, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Please,
we'll see.
Don't excommunicate me.
Yeah. No material heresy here.
Yeah.
Or formal. Hey, so what have you been reading recently? Like, I have been... So, New Year. I think we've talked about... Did we talk about, like, some of the things that we were wanting to do for the New Year?
We did not.
We didn't?
Mm-mm.
On, like, one of the last podcasts?
I wanted to, and you said it was a bad idea.
That sounds like me. I thought I had mentioned, like, one of the things that I wanted to do.
I don't know. What was it? Maybe I wasn't listening.
Yeah. I'm going to start writing.
You did? I do not remember that.
Okay. So one of the things that I have decided to do for 2025 okay. is that I want to handwrite 500 words a week, which is not a lot. That's not.
How are you going to, write letters? Or are you going to write, what are you going to do? Journal?
I have a lot of thoughts that I've been wanting to write down. Like, you know, a lot of like.
Are you going to try poetry?
No, I'm not skilled enough to even try poetry.
If you're going
to
try poetry, you should get rid of the 500 words and do like 45 minutes or something.
No, that's not what I want to do at all. I'm not good enough to even attempt poetry.
I don't think writing poetry is like necessarily because you're good. It's just because it's good to do.
Maybe. I think you're probably right. But I want to, so like the first thing I'm going to write, the first thing I've actually started writing is the defense to go into midnight mass. I've been wanting to do that for like 3 years.
Like an article?
Yeah. And I just want to like get my word. So here's the thing. I want to handwrite it because one of the things that I have learned, you know, we wrote a book and one of the things that I've learned through that process is that it's very easy to type.
Yeah.
Because you kind of just regurgitate, you know, you kind of blurt everything out on the keyboard. It's very easy to, change it, edit it, take things out, add things in. But handwriting causes you to actually have to stop and pause and really gather your thoughts before you start writing because, you know, it takes time to do so. It takes time to write. And it, like, you can't just super easy, you know, it's not easy right. to, oh, I need to rewrite this or take this part out.
Sure.
And so I have found that one of the defects that I have from a cell phone is that and just from my work in general, is like, I'm very quick. I make quick decisions. I see things, I understand things, and I make decisions and I move on. I don't think about it anymore. It's like a boom, first in, first out kind of mentality. And one of the downfalls to that is that I don't stop and contemplate and think about things and like really work them out in my head and then be able to articulate them well.
Mm, yeah.
And so that's what I'm really wanting to work on. I want to like think about things that I have a passion about or like that's been on my mind or been, you know, I've been kind of chewing on over the last few years and just sit down and put that on paper.
I know you're not going to do this just because nobody does this anymore, but what about dictating instead of handwriting? I've just been sitting here thinking about it and, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned like, oh yeah, it changes your thought process when you have to write it down on paper. And then I was thinking like, what would it do to your thought process if you have to say this out loud to somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but I like the,
you could see that like also forcing you to really visceral, refine.
Yeah. But the visceral and tangible, like
sure, yeah.
hand yeah, yeah. to paper.
I'm just bringing up something else.
I think that you would have, I think to do that well, you'd have to even be more laser focused. I think what I would end up doing is be less focused and just start talking.
Mm. That would make for a bad book.
And I'm not, my goal is not to write a book. Like, I have no desire to write a book anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. We've done that. But I have like these thoughts that I would like to try to flesh out and not do anything with, but just like for my own sake, just for my own like ability to say, like, yes, I have thought this through and this is what I can, this is my conclusion.
The only thing I do this on, I do keep a journal.
You do?
Yeah. I keep a garden journal.
Okay.
I've been doing it for years and where I just...
When you say for years, you mean like the last like 3 years?
No. Like I started it 2018. long before we moved here. I mean, even back when I just had two raised garden raised beds.
I did not know this about you.
I draw maps.
You think you know a guy.
I draw pictures of like each bed, where exactly where I had things planted, the day I planted them, how it worked, how to like, I've been keeping this. Even I wrote all the stories of my battles with the moles in my raised garden bed. It's all very funny. That no one will ever see.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me. I go back and read it, and I laugh. True story.
Sitting here laughing at...
In fact, I'm thinking about it right now.
In my wingback chair, my wife walks by, and I'm like, what are you laughing at? I was like, you wouldn't even understand.
Just snickering.
I did not know this about you.
Yeah.
But so this is... So, you know, X's 90 is coming up, so... One of the things that happens with X's 90 is you end up, because you're cutting out things, you end up having time to fill things with, right? And
yeah.
So I have decided I'm going to write 500 words every week, at least, at a minimum. And then I'm trying to build up my reading list that I want to have. And then on the other side of the break, I want to talk about like this idea that I have for our family that I'm trying to accomplish.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
So, we'll see.
I look forward to hearing it in just a little bit.
Hang in there.
Okay.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you are giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Exodus 90 is a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it starts on January 20th. Download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men from all around the world. We begin January 20th. Join us.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm Dave Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're drinking a little bit of...
Oh, yeah, we haven't even said. It's
little
delicious.
Bit of, small batch blended malt whiskey. It's from the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. It's bourbon, so we're drinking bourbon. They make bourbon. They do bourbon. So, it's first fill bourbon barrels, U.S. oak Oloroso hogshead, and second fill Spanish oak Oloroso hogsheads.
It tastes like a Highland Scotch that's smoked, is what it tastes like to me.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think this is a little bit different. Most of the time, what the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society is doing is they're buying barrels from a distillery and then finishing them just, you know, before they bottle them. This one, I think that they actually blend it. It's more of their own blend that they put together. Mm. It's very good. I like it.
Again, it tastes like a Highland Scotch that has been smoked. A smoked Highland Scotch.
They still don't sponsor our show.
Which is...
They totally should.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talk about them a lot. Everything that we get from them is superb. It's expensive. But, right. You know, like, hey, if you're someone who has a budget...
Yeah.
Or if you're just super rich, it's kind of the same thing. Check them out. And send them an email that you heard about them on our show.
They should
sponsor our
Maybe
show.
Maybe they'll actually sponsor our show.
They should like do some good with all the money that
we're sending them.
That we're, yeah, and like help, you know, further the mission of Jesus Christ and sponsor our show. So somebody should do that. Please do that.
Do that. Okay, so yeah, so before the break, I was talking about like things that we were going to do with the new year, right? I'm going to... dedicating to write 500 words a week. That's something that I want to do. I'm building out my reading list right now. This last year, I read more than I have in a one-year span my entire life.
Say that again.
Last year, I've read more books in a one-year span than I have my, you know, any year of my life.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you meant like, oh, this was the year that you read the most. Or if you meant over the last year, you read more than all of the other years put together.
No, probably not.
Okay.
But.
But maybe it's not that far off.
Yeah. The numbers are probably closer than I'd like to admit.
Very good.
Yeah. I read a lot this last year.
Do you feel smarter? Do you feel like your brain is heavier?
You know what I do?
You do. Heavier brain.
I feel...
Scalable.
I feel like my neck has thickened up because of all the weight.
It's so heavy.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I feel like knowledge is not heavy. I feel like it actually makes... It's lighter.
Do you ever know if your right hand is not the right hand?
I do.
It's always the right hand.
I do know.
You do know that.
I know that.
It's always that.
I know what it is.
Right. So you don't ever have to guess or think about it anymore.
Right.
And there's nothing that I'm going to be able to say that's going to tell you that's not your right hand.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's because you know it.
Right. Think about this. Everything you ever know, everything that you've ever learned, you've memorized. Everything you know, you memorized it. Think about that, Adam.
That's not true. I've known things that I've forgotten.
But if you know it now, you've memorized it.
I don't know what you mean by memorize then.
Yeah, people are just anti-memorization. Like, oh, just have to memorize this. It's like, yeah, that's how you learn stuff. Like, if you
poetic knowledge, dude. I'm more poetic knowledge.
But you're still memorizing something.
You're experiencing.
Just because you didn't sit there and like try to repeat it. You know, like that's one way to memorize things. Anyway. It's just a knowledge. It's a knowledge comment, bro. That's all.
It was very smart.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Another thing that we're going to do as a family, and I want my kids to do this, is I want them to write out one thing they want to accomplish this year.
Okay.
Like one thing that they want to...
Sort of like a New Year's resolution, but more like a...
Just like one thing I want you to be able to look back on next year and say, like, I did this. And so I sprung this on them too late because what I told them was like, I don't want you to just like pick something that comes off the top of your head. Like, do you want to learn the violin? Do you want to learn how to do a little bit of woodworking? Do you want to learn how to, you know, do you want to help volunteer at a nursing home? What is it that you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You want to learn how to play chess better, draw pictures, write a play, you know, I don't know, whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah, be as strong as Uncle Dave.
Well, yeah, that won't happen.
No, not this year.
Not this year. This year isn't in the cards.
Someday.
Someday will definitely happen. But I want them all to write something down so that way they can look back and say like, yes, I did this.
All
and
right.
Then we're going to do that.
So have they done it yet?
No, not yet. And then we're going to come up with one thing together as a family. That we want to do.
Oh, okay.
Like, as a family, this is something that we want to accomplish this year. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, we all, like, levitate from 3 inches to 8 inches. We don't have to, like, nothing like that. You know, it's more of, like, just something as a unit, as a family unit that we achieve together.
We were at a conference recently, and what was the guy's name? You probably remember his name. He had the 16 kids. In fact, we did an episode on his book about organized...
Tom Gallagher.
Yes. One of the things he mentioned in his talk is that as a family, they pick a new patron saint every year.
I know. I thought that was fascinating.
I really love that idea. And then that they have like a wall of fame.
Where, I loved that idea.
Yeah. And so where they frame each one, you know, it's like, oh, this was 2017, 2018. The saint that they... dedicated that year towards, tried to emulate that year. Yeah. I think that was a really great idea.
I love that. And, you know, we've talked about it on the show before, but like, you know, to have a family patron saint, you know, to have it together as a family that you end all prayers in, you know, that you just develop this devotion to this saint as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, yeah, that's a great idea. Like, that's what we've done that, obviously. You know, Saint Gerard is our family patron saint and has been since the beginning of our family, basically. But to have one each year is like just a one up. It's like, oh, that's
it does,
even better.
Man. It feels good.
That's such an even better idea.
It feels
idea.
Right.
It's like,
and to have them framed,
yeah,
each
on the
one
wall.
In the same place. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, dang it. I should have thought of that.
You should have. I actually was thinking that you should have thought of that.
Yeah.
When he said it, I was like, dang it. Adam should have thought of that.
Yeah. And you're right. The thing is, you're right.
Like, that's what you're here for, bro.
I know. So have you guys thought of anything that you guys are going to want to do or like change or like any like New Year's?
As a family?
or like even individually?
I did institute a rule here recently. It's met with some pushback. But it's a rule. And you know what? It's working.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm very anxious.
I wasn't planning on sharing this today, but... So we have three girls all in one room.
Mm-hmm.
Nine and a half, eight, and six and a half. Okay. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, it's very hard for that room to stay clean. Between three girls getting dressed, clothes, mm-hmm. stuff, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Almost impossible. So mm-hmm. I told them, I would go in there every day and say, why is there stuff on the ground? It's like, well, I don't know. It's like, I changed clothes. It's like, yeah, but see all this stuff? You never put it on the ground. Nothing belongs on the ground. Don't put it on the ground in the first place. It's like every dad is going like, oh, totally, right now, as mm-hmm. they hear me complain about this. So I said, okay, every day I'm going to check. If there's anything on the ground, if this room is not clean, nobody gets dessert. I don't care who did it.
Including you?
No, just them.
Oh, okay.
No, obviously I get dessert.
Nobody gets dessert.
The three of them. The three of the girls.
I thought you meant nobody in the family.
Totally, I get dessert. I get dessert if I want dessert because I'm the dad.
How do you feel about that justice of like, listen, one messes up, all suffer.
Okay. You know, I used to think that this was very unjust, that this style of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's all of their room. They're all responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not the one who put it on the ground. Also, they will be their brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm. Or sisters.
They will be their sister's keeper, right? And also, they will now learn the guilt of that their actions have consequences. It happened today. One, my youngest daughter, she had clothes. It's like kind
Her
of a lot of
stuff.
Her name
rhymes with Shmurmadet.
Yeah, that's right. And none of the other girls, their stuff wasn't on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
None of them got dessert. And, you know, Bernadette had to deal with that knowing she was the reason why. And
is that the pushback that you've been getting?
Yeah, I mean, they were obviously not, they didn't like this idea, you know. But honestly, after the initial, when I first explained the idea to them, and like a couple of them cried,
and we got past the tears.
Once we got past that, yeah. They've done really well with it. And their room has been astonishingly better. It's been so much better. So I don't know if that's really what you were looking for when you asked that question. It's just the only thing that came to mind.
What about you? Is there anything that you, like, have you put any thought into things that you want to do this year?
I'm not going to be doing things this year. I'm going to be doing less this year. That's kind of...
I've said that the last 4 years and I've added and done more.
I will not be doing that. You know, like when we moved here a couple, you know, 2.5 years ago, I dove into all of these things.
Yes.
And I have done them fairly well.
Yeah, props. You have.
Thank you. But my work situation has changed a lot. So I just, my available time has gone way down. So I'm just going to have to be... Making decisions on how to either be more efficient in certain things or what to do less of. Which is tough, because I really like
doing those things.
I really like, yeah, the things that we do here on the farm. Niles Ranch and Fecundity Farm.
You told everybody about
that? I don't know. I'll tell the story about the name of our ranch on the other side of the break. It'll be quick.
All right.
Adam, I don't know about you, but I am getting tired of giving my hard-earned money to companies that are paying for things like abortions and worse.
I know, man. The stuff that they're teaching our kids in school, that anti-Catholic bigotry, it's getting crazy what they're pushing on them. I really just would like to spend money without having to worry about supporting these type of people.
You know, that's where Catholic-owned comes in. Finally, we have a way to shop with businesses that share all of our values.
Wait, hold on. What exactly is Catholic-owned?
Oh, it's the app to find tons of authentically Catholic-owned businesses from across the country and finally feel good about where your money goes. They've got national and local companies, goods and services, and they're adding more every day.
Man, I gotta check this out. Where can I find them?
You can download the free Catholic-owned app today and join us in building the new Catholic economy. Just use referral code CATHOLICMAN at sign up.
Welcome back to Catholic Man Show. I promise, here's what we're going to be talking about tonight, but we, Dave and I actually have, they've just poured me a generous, glass. Dave and I, we just haven't seen each other in a while, so.
Yeah, dude, it's, you've been, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
And I've been too busy to see you.
Right, and so, this is what happened.
I barely let you in today.
I know, I was like, please, let me in. I was like, what?
You actually, like, when I came around, you were actually already inside, and I was like, all right.
Dang it.
Fine.
Changing the locks tomorrow.
Forgot to tell my wife not to let him in.
It's funny, like, I'm sure if you go back and listen to our shows, like, the episodes in which we just sit here and, like, rant or, like, talk before the topic is really the weeks that it's like, hey, dude, I haven't seen you all week. Let me tell you about everything that I did this week, you know, and the weeks that we're like, all right, well, this is the beginning of segment one, and we're going to get into the topic.
But that almost never happens.
That very rarely happens.
Where we, like, get into the topic in segment one.
That's right.
It does sometimes, so don't skip it.
Right. But it's typically because, you know what, we've been together all week.
Yeah.
We have nothing else to
You already know all the stuff.
On.
You were there. I was there.
Yeah.
So let me just tell briefly a story about our... So we have always called our place Niles Ranch. We even have a rock that says Niles Ranch on it. But I
Petro or Petra?
It's well, it would be Petro, I guess, because it's not that big. Or Petra.
Petra.
No, Petro. Petro. Petra. The argument is that Petra, female, means large rock, and that Petro means small rock, and that Jesus called Peter Petro, and therefore he's the small rock. But that's just, he called him Petro because he's a man. And Petro is the male version.
I don't know if that's actually true. But anyway, it didn't matter.
It is. That's true. He called him... Petrus. Jesus didn't actually say it. He said Cephas.
Cephas, yeah.
Like, but it was later translated into Greek.
Right.
That's where you get the Petra...
Petra Petros.
Petros. I don't know how to say it. Yeah, I don't speak Greek. I just know that one thing. Anyway.
It's all Greek to me.
So we've called our place Niles Ranch. That's what we've always called it.
That's right.
We have a rock. It says Niles Ranch. Well, then, like, about 7 weeks ago, we had a human baby was born. Then a few days later, we had baby chicks hatch. And then a few days after that, we had baby pigs born. And I was making making jokes. It's like, man, this is a really fecund place around here. Like, the fecundity level is very high. It's pretty amazing. And then I was so taken by that that I changed the name to Niles Ranch and Fecundity Farm. We even have a logo. It's awesome. And when I send, like, I just sent, you an invoice because you guys bought a pig from us.
Right.
I send out these invoices with our logo of Niles Ranch and Fecundity Farm. It's awesome. It's really great.
I still have not.
Thank you, AI logo generator, for your participation.
I still have not come up with the name of our homestead yet.
Yeah. Well, Fecundity Farm is taken. Okay. So don't.
You know what? The domain isn't.
You're right. But actually, that was one of the things, like, oh man, that's so good. Fecundity Farm. That's awesome. I have to, like, do something before one of my friends takes this idea. Like, if I had told him this story before, I had the, he would have
you'd had the rock. He would have had
it would
the
have
URL.
Been a race. It would have been a race.
He would have made sweatshirts.
Yeah. And so I knew.
He may have tattooed it on himself at that point.
Okay. That's not funny. Cause maybe.
Yeah.
So anyway, I knew I had to act swiftly, and I did.
You did great.
And now we are Fecundity Farm. That's Niles Ranch, Fecundity Farm.
Fantastic.
Trademark, except it's not trademark, but don't take it.
Patent pending.
Okay. Now we should talk about the stuff.
Okay, so we're going to talk about how to converse with God. We're going to be pulling from St. Alphonsus Liguori, moral doctor of the church.
He's the dude, man.
He also... seems to have a hunch. If you look at some of his pictures of him, he has, like, this, I think it may be just because he was always reading, and always like, you know, just kind of like hunched over reading. That most of his pictures, he looks like his.
Does he actually have a hunch, or do they just have him like always like piously bending forward? And the pictures that are drawn of him, are they like, were he like, posed for them?
Like that.
Do you think like he was actually posing for that photo?
I don't know. It just seems like all like, most of the pictures that are with him, he's kind of
interesting.
Like, kind
of his head is like hunched in a weird way.
I don't know.
All right.
I think that he's, well, if you're
worth
it's not
looking
actually,
into.
It's not worth mentioning, and I did anyway, but he's a, the moral, you know, one of the moral doctors of the church. He's a doctor of the church.
Yeah.
From more, in moral theology. Mm-hmm. If you read some of his works, they're just incredible.
Yeah.
Very clear, very precise, very articulate, very pastoral, yet a defender of the truth.
He's a man of strong opinions. I would have really liked him. Like, he would have liked me.
Dude, did you know that
we
you
would
have...
We would have liked each other.
You have strong
I feel
opinions.
Strong. I feel quite sure about that.
Right. So he wrote this, like, little treatise. It's a little book put out by Tan. Again, go to Tan Publishing. There's you're never going to have...
Yeah, they're solid.
Like, there's just not very many books I wouldn't recommend by Tan Publishing. And I'm just saying that because
what
I
what is the list of ones you wouldn't?
I say that. I'm just, like, hedging my bets because I don't know all
just
the books.
Just because maybe there is one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's called How to Converse with God. And it's just all about prayer. And so we've talked about prayer many times on the podcast. You can go back and listen to just if you go to our website and just type in prayer, you'll see that we've talked about prayer a lot. In fact, somebody... Oh, I forgot who. Who was it? Somebody on X recently talked about the St. Bridget. Oh, is Dr. Malosh, Dr. Urger Malosh, who's been on our show. But he was talking about the St. Bridget prayer.
Excellent.
And he was talking about how, you know, why does nobody know about this? And I was like, actually?
We've done episodes on it.
Yeah.
Talked about it. Two episodes, I think.
I believe you're right. Yeah. So anyway, you can go back and we've talked about prayer a lot. There's some insights that I wanted to talk about that St. Alphonsus Liguori kind of brings to our attention that I thought was very well worth discussing today. And what I also like is that there's very practical takeaways in the book, in this little booklet. The booklet is how many pages, Dave? I mean, it's not very...
Oh, it's not many. And some of the chapters are only a couple pages long.
Right.
67, but it looks like there's prayers in the back, too.
So it's also one that would be good
67
to...
67 very small pages.
Good, like, adoration book as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because some of these chapters are really only just, like, a couple paragraphs.
So let's define some terms, right? So he talks about prayer. What is prayer? But prayer is like this loving conversation. He talks about how the definition of prayer is described as a direct personal conversation with God, a moment where the soul opens itself up completely, honestly, and confidently to our Creator. And so he really uses that definition and really kind of drives into like what is the ramifications or what is the result of that being the case.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I think it's worth stopping there to say what prayer is, because I think if that's not accurately described and we go on to say like how to do it well and blah blah blah, it's like if we don't have a good grasp of actually what it is, then when we're talking about how to do it well, then you're not even like people won't get it. Prayer is not the words you say. Okay, the words you say are meant to invoke prayer out of you, right? That praying, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm like some prayer expert because I struggle a lot in prayer. Like I struggle a lot with distractions. Right. With
so Dave the expert says,
but prayer is that, you know, when you lift your heart and your mind together with like really meaning something and like feeling this charity towards God. You know, it's like when you're
I wouldn't use feeling.
Well, okay, but you do often feel it. Okay, it's like almost. When your heart skips a beat a little bit, you know,
when
you intend and you mean a lot.
As in the definition.
Well, when you lift your mind and heart, soul to God, right?
I would use it that way, yes.
That, you know, very, very often anyway, it's not like, oh, you feel so great all the time, but you do intend a lot. Like, you feel the meaning behind what you're saying. That's what I'm trying to say. Not that, like, you have all these great feelings in return. Okay, I'm not saying you're getting a lot of spiritual consolation all the time.
I actually even don't know if that's true. I think that
you have all this. You have this meaning.
There's some prayers that happen is like, you know what, Lord, I just don't even know if this is true, but I'm just lifting it up to you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some of the most beautiful prayers are like people saying like, Lord, I don't even know if you're here. I don't even know if you're real.
Mm-hmm. So that would be a really great prayer, and you would really feel that
it's
that
honest
that intention.
There's
maybe
it's more honesty and integrity.
What I don't mean about when I say feeling is that you have good feelings. You know that you're getting spiritual consolations that you're like having like, oh great, it's just I felt so connected to God.
We call that's spiritual consolations spiritual cookies. On the Catholic Man Show.
I don't mean that like you're feeling so great in your prayer, you're just feeling so connected and close to God. That's not at all what I mean. I just mean that you're really bearing your soul, being honest, okay?
Okay.
One of the things that is a struggle for me is often the repetition of my prayer. I tend to start the same way. I tend to think about the same things in the beginning. And those things, they can kind of lose their fervor for me over time, you know, because it's just because of the repetition. Yes, all of those things. I stop really meaning them, and I just am doing them kind of out of habit, a good habit. But
you can feel how the priests do that with mass,
dude. I'm sure, like saying the mass for a priest has to be a real. In the beginning, I don't think the mass is work. I think it's probably very joyful and awesome for a priest. But after you've been a priest for a long time, I think that saying the mass would be very hard and a lot of work. So you really have to try constantly, be working to like put yourself into it and meaning it, because it's just so repetitive. You know, it'd be so easy just to go through it.
Right. Well, isn't that what I talked about the other, like a couple weeks ago, like preparing to go into adoration?
Yeah, which I think was a good point. It was a good thing to say. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm Dave Niles here with Adam Minahan. There's no Jim here.
Yeah, I invited him.
What?
Well, at least I sent him an email.
Right before I got in the car to drive over here, I sent him an email.
No, at 1:30.
Oh, okay.
Well, when I sent you the email.
We're recording on an unusual day, odd. So we'll give him a pass, but he's not here.
Right. He's not. So we're talking about prayer.
Yes. So anyway, prayer is that. It's that. It's not just simply, oh, I said this. You know, when you say the words of the Our Father, saying the words is not the important thing. It's meaning the words. Like really thinking about what you're saying and really trying to mean that. You know, when you say, hallowed be thy name, like really mean, like, you know what, Lord, your name is holy. Okay, that's the important thing. It's not the words. The words don't matter. It's the meaning behind the words that you need to like put yourself into. That's a prayer.
Okay. I don't disagree. I think that there's some nuances there, but we can.
There are nuances to be had.
But I like for the sake of time, because we're in now the fourth segment.
Well, yes.
I agree. So he talks about like, you know, this personal conversation with God, and he talks about the intimacy that needs to be had and the simplicity that needs to be had within prayer, right? That we should approach our Father as Abba, as our Father, as almost like a parent at times, mm-hmm. as somebody who is in utter need and has this, you know how, like your son right now, there is nothing dad can't do. Yeah. There is nothing that he feels like that you can't do, that you you could do wrong, that you wouldn't give him, you know, in yeah. in some way, shape, or form, right? It's like that mentality of approaching our father of there's nothing you can do wrong. I give everything to you. You know, this mm-hmm. is very
all
childlike.
All I want to do is be like you.
Right. Very childlike, right? Mm-hmm. It talks about this, like the simplicity that this is kind of what you were talking about, how elaborate words or formal rituals are actually unnecessary in prayer. And that God desires the sincerity of our hearts, kind of what you were also saying, more than eloquence. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what you were trying to say.
Striving at eloquence is simply, it's actually the opposite of what real prayer is. You know, mm-hmm. God is not impressed by your big words. He's impressed by your sincerity of heart.
That's right. Now, I think there are certain formulas of prayer that are very good to do.
Absolutely.
Right?
You absolutely. Know,
and I don't think Catholics in general struggle with formulaic prayers because that's kind of what we actually do most of the time.
It's one of the great traditions of the church is form. I mean, the Mass is a formulaic prayer.
Sure. Yeah. The Rosary, the, you know.
They're beautiful.
Even prayers before meals. We say the same everywhere. We say mm-hmm. the same thing. We're universal. In that yeah. in that aspect.
Yeah, there's just pros and cons. You just have to remember, formulaic prayers can become more work because you have to really mean, you have to like remember, you right. have to remember to mean it.
Right. So he talks about also like this, like having to have constant prayer in your life, which, I mean, this is what St. Paul talks about, like to pray without ceasing. This is something that we all want and desire. And so he says like, okay, here's how you do it. Here's some things that you should do to constantly be in practice of prayer, which I think is very helpful. He talks about short aspirations. He talks about how he recommends short, frequent prayers, okay, throughout the day, such mm-hmm. As small as, my God, I love you, or Jesus, help me, or Lord, have mercy. Like those are, you know, three words, five words, very short prayers, but just repeatedly saying that throughout the day. Mm. Based on your situation in the day. One of the things that I find very helpful that I learned from Father Healy, and he learned from Father Hardin, the Jesuit priest who's written many great works, is, you know, prayer of reparations for things. So you hear somebody say maybe the Lord's name in vain, or say, you know, or even like you find out like, oh, this guy's telling a lie right now, or, you know, some sort of sin, like a short prayer in reparation for that moment.
When I hear someone take the Lord's name in vain, I always cast down my eyes. It's not because I'm like ashamed of that person, but it might be, and maybe I should be totally different about this, but like, oh, if I were to do the sign of the cross in front of them, mm-hmm. That might be.
What about hitting him below the belt?
Yeah,
you thought about doing that.
Or who's it says about like stabbing him with a sword? Because it would be like better for them to die than to keep doing what they're doing. I forget one of the saints said something to that effect. But I do that, and the Lord knows why I'm doing it. It's, you know, as just a tiny act of reparation, which I think is something. It's a good thing to do. You know. Maybe you could do the sign of the cross in front of them as like almost a, you know, fraternal correction.
Work of charity.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But I do like, I mean, I think that helps. I mean, when you keep focused on like what's going on around you and like, ooh, this isn't a good situation. Like, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
One of the things we try to do here at our house, and I'm actually the worst one in our house at remembering this. The kids are so much better at it. Is the
they are much older than you.
The habit of the sign of the cross. So before we do a chore, before we start another school subject, before we read a book, before we start something, just to do the sign of the cross as a way of dedicating what I'm about to do. It's just like the point is just have these little reminders. Because you can get so wrapped up in your job, mm-hmm. you know, in what you're doing, that you just forget to think about God. I mean, that's just, it's not like you're doing it on purpose. So you need to try to develop these habits. And like I said, I'm the worst. All the kids, they're way better mm-hmm. at remembering mm-hmm. to do this. It's hard for me to so there's something about it. In fact, my oldest Elizabeth, she'll see me making coffee and she'll say, "Did you do the sign of the cross?" And 100% of the times, no. And I'll do it, you know?
Right.
But it is a good habit. It's really, I see them doing it and it like warms my heart. It makes me feel good like, that
yes, I'm raising saints.
At least it's like, hey, Lord, if I can't be holy, hopefully they will be, right. You know?
One of the things that I have found to be very helpful and I've gotten into the habit of is asking my guardian angel to assist me in a conversation that I'm about to have with somebody or ask them to be with this person or be with their guardian angel to soften their heart or to help them hear the message or to help move the conversation in the way that we should be moving it. And so a lot of times, especially in business, before I get on a business call or something, I ask my guardian angel to assist the other me and the people that I'm speaking with.
Dude, I think you were the one who introduced that idea to me. And I've done that many times. 100% of the time, it has great effect.
Mm-hmm.
Where like either I would be afraid to have, like I knew I'm gonna have to have a tough conversation with somebody, either in work or personal life, you know, whatever it is, or something. Mm-hmm. I'm really, every single time I've done that, ask my guardian angel to speak to their guardian angel, you know, mm-hmm. like, hey, it has always gone super great.
Or much better than what you assumed.
Yes.
And that even works, you know, before you have a discussion with your spouse, before you have a discussion with your kids, before you have you know, a business meeting or a speech that you have to give or, you know, whatever it is. I have found that to be very helpful and a habit that I've gotten into that I much am grateful for.
Awesome.
So, okay. So a couple other things that he talks about is the practice of constant prayer, right? So he talks about like these short aspirations, these little bitty things that we can do throughout mm-hmm. the day, which, I mean, we should not be surprised. This is what he says. Saints for hundreds and hundreds of years have said like, this is, I mean, even the desert fathers talk about, you know, these short prayers mm-hmm. over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
Oh man, I just went blank on the Jesus prayer. Or the Lord, yeah, the Jesus prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Son of living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Yeah, so like those things over and over and over again, right? But he talks also about like this confidence in God's goodness, right? So if we're in this conversation with God, if you were, you know, again, the analogy of your son talking to you, like he knows like that you desire the good for him, right?
Yeah.
And so that we should approach God in the same way and that we should have trust over fear when confronting our Lord and that we should be bold in asking and that we should persevere in prayer. So those are the three things he kind of really highlights. So to me, it's like, that's very clear. The trust over fear that, you know, that, again, the analogy I think really holds well with father-son, right? That I know that I'm going to ask you and you want the best for me. So regardless of what your answer is, I know that it is for the better, for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
You know more than me, Dad,
yeah.
Right? And so that's one thing. And then also like the boldness in asking, like how many times has your son like come and approach you with this big ask? And you're like, I'm kind of impressed that you asked me that,
mm-hmm.
and I will give it to you.
Yeah,
I mean, has that happened?
Well, my son's only 4, so he hasn't asked me for any bold things yet. But
I mean, he does have a shot. Shotgun.
My other son is only 7 weeks, so he's also deficient in bold. The bold asking.
Yeah,
yeah. But you can. My daughters have done that. You know, where they come to me, it's like, hey, I would like this. And it's like, oh, I did not think that you were gonna. Okay.
We'll get a pony next week.
Yeah, exactly. What color?
Yeah. And then perseverance, I think, is really, really key here, right? Is that even when we feel dry or distance from God, we must persevere, trusting that he hears and will respond in his own time, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the...
And of course, you just have to set a time aside. You have to make sure... Your prayer has to be the priority. You don't go to work until you've prayed. You know, you have to, everything has to be set aside. There is nothing that you will do today that's more important than praying.
That's right. So when we get, We're out of time on Catholic Radio. Thank you so much to Catholic Radio for running the Catholic Man Show. Go check us out on the webs, CatholicManShow.com, or your favorite podcast player. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Okay, so one of the things, so a few more practical advice for prayer that he talks about. He gives some practical advice and then some practical takeaways even.
Oh. This is what you should have learned from the things that I said.
Right. Just to make sure. I want to be abundantly clear. Yeah.
So I said this.
This.
Just so you know, this is what you're supposed to go, ah.
Right. Exactly. So one of the things he talks about is like the what you said right before we ended on Catholic Radio is like, hey, begin each day with prayer.
Dude, I feel like this guy is always ripping off my stuff.
I know.
He doesn't even credit me when he says the stuff that I've already said.
It doesn't even say CF David Niles.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I know. So begin each day in prayer, make prayer a habit, silent reflection, and then gratitude and love. This is something that I find, that this last one, and Dave, I give it up to you, whatever. I don't really want to give it up to you, but I have to.
Okay. So good for your humility.
Or yours, I don't know. Not definitely not good for yours. Good for but good for mine, I guess. I guess I'm getting.
You're
holier.
Welcome.
Yeah, let me just be holier. a while back you had mentioned how you made your kids say something specific about the thing that they're grateful for about the dinner to the wife.
Yeah,
to your wife,
mm-hmm.
to the mom. How like it's not just thank you for dinner, but thank you so much for the green beans. They were very delicious.
Yeah.
Whatever, something much more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I took to that and I was like, that is something that we're going to start doing as well. I think that's a great idea. I'm very, I'm like a sense of gratitude for this idea.
Because
not only does it make them stop and think, and doesn't keep them in the habit of just like the repetitious part that even in prayer that we've talked about how it's easy to kind of just fall into the, you say the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes them actually think about the gratitude that they should be feeling. So right. Even when, here's the thing is like, even when they feel like, I don't even like any of this, they still have to say something. So they... their sense of gratitude has to come in and come up, like be creative and come up with something they actually did like in some facet.
Yeah.
Even if it's something that they don't like, it's like, well, mom, thank you so much for dinner tonight. There are a lot of people who go hungry and we're not one of them.
Right. Yeah. It's good when you're saying thank you and when you're saying sorry to, you know, when you say sorry, you don't, kids, you know, it's like you go say sorry to your sister. Sorry. It's like, no. You have to say, I'm sorry for hitting you. You know, you have to say what you're thankful for and you have to say what you're sorry for. Although, because saying sorry and saying thank you is not just like a social convention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a social convention, but that's not why we do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it helps develop that habit of
what exactly?
Being specific, expressing your thanks in a more articulate way.
And I think that the lesson there also is in prayer is to be much more specific about the gratitude that you have to God.
Yeah.
About different things throughout the day. Like, you know, we just finished a full year. Did you even thank, like, did we thank God for that year? Did you even thank, you know, each day, did you thank God like, hey, thank you so much, that I have a home? That I have two legs to walk, that I have two arms, that I have a car, that I have a beautiful wife, that I have healthy kids, that I, mm-hmm. Like all the things that you actually can be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Not just thank you for my family. Thank you for, thank you for this year. Like, specifically, what are you grateful for?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And, you know, it's hard not to, this once again, back to repetition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to name those big things, and it's good to name the big thing, be thankful for all of those things, but mm-hmm. When you develop the habit of doing it, hopefully you can get to the point where you'll have these moments where something little happens, and you can be thankful in that moment. You mm-hmm. know, it's hard to do if you're not trying to cultivate this like constant practice of prayer, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, it just happens where you forget to think about God.
Right.
It just does. But if you, this is that gratitude, that habit is another avenue, just like trying to remember to say these little prayers throughout the day, having that habit of gratitude is another, that's another thing that will turn you back towards God. So it's very important for that reason as well.
Yeah. So the practical takeaways that I want to talk about, and there's really only one that I want to kind of lean into. They're all good, but I just, you know, go pick up the little booklet and read for yourself. But you know, he talked about seek alignment with God's will, making sure that that His will be done. We say that our Father, you know, it's not my will be done, but His will be done, right? Prayer and simplicity. You know,
can we talk about just the God's will for just a second? I just want to make one comment about
permissive
this.
Permissive or active?
Yep.
Okay.
So people, I think, get really wrapped around the axle about whether or not they're doing God's will. And it's something that we should be concerned about. But I think the most, really what we should be concerned about is that we are seeking His will. Okay. Whether you picked, like, whether He wanted you to eat the green M&M or the orange M&M, that's not the thing. Okay. It's like, just that we are, because...
Because clearly it's blue.
I mean, maybe, or brown. I mean, personally, I think the brown M&M, even though I know they all are the same, the brown one tastes more chocolatey to me because it looks like chocolate. You don't think so? You think that the blue... Anyway, all right, we're not going to talk about... Fine, you can have whatever M&M you want, but...
I'm glad you're the ones picking out the when it comes, terrible brown one.
Whatever, they're all chocolate. When it comes to like doing His will... It's important. Yeah, it's like, okay, we should be trying to make those right decisions. What is the decision? But really, we should. It's most important just to have the attitude that I am seeking to be and following His will.
It pleases God to know that you're attempting to do His will, even if it's not His will.
Right. Because you're not Christ or the Blessed Virgin Mary. You're not going to do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are trying to, and that was your intent, then like the Lord smiles on that, you know, mm-hmm. and he'll help you out.
Totally. So pray with simplicity is another one. We've kind of already talked about that. Like that.
You just know. Don't use too. Don't be.
Furthermore, I would like to, you know, just be, I think, like have integrity. I think honest and being, you know, honest about your prayer. I think is very important.
Yeah.
Trust in God's mercy, that regardless of where you are in your state of life, that His mercy is way bigger than any of your sins, and stay connected with God. And here's the one that I want to like talk about, which I thought was kind of profound. It's not actually, it just kind of hit me. So he talks about, you know, cultivating the spirit of prayer. And he says like, see prayer as a joyful privilege, not an obligation.
Mm.
Like to me, that like hits because for so long in my spiritual life, prayer was an obligation out of justice, which it is. Actually, it is an obligation.
It is. Yeah. Religion is a sub virtue of justice.
Out of justice to our Lord, I owe Him my prayer to Him. But the beautiful thing about God is like the things that you give. To Him, he is abundant Lord, right? That He is abundant God. That he gives it right back, and so that it becomes when you realize that you are a son of God, that your sonship comes from the divine, that it becomes a joy to enter into dialogue with the divine, and not something that you just have to do to check the box. And so that's what we should strive for. Even if you feel at this point that I'm just doing it out of obligation, good. That's the first, like, it's almost like it's imperfect.
Yeah, you're right. That's the first step to enjoying it.
Right. So it's imperfect, but it is good.
This is probably a bad analogy, but for a lot of people, the first time they drink coffee, they don't like it. Right. It tastes bad. But then you, like, the more you do it, all of a sudden
you acquire the taste.
And you find that you love coffee.
Right.
Okay. Very weird analogy, maybe, right. But it is kind of similar with prayer that in the beginning, maybe it's difficult and you struggle with it. But we've developed appetites for things, all kinds of things that maybe we ought not to desire, right? Or maybe that we desire too much or too little. And prayer is the thing that will help align all of those appetites. We should, I mean, just think about exactly what, you know, like what you said, that there should be this joy in prayer. Yeah, because you're communing with the, like, with the being
that, the triune God.
With the being that is existence itself.
Right.
Okay, your existence comes from and is perpetually, like, continuing to exist because of God and this and his love for you, okay? He is so far above you, the fact that you could even approach him is ridiculous.
Right.
Okay? And yet he has asked us to, right? He mm-hmm. calls to us. Mm-hmm. And so it is a privilege that the animals don't. They don't get to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's humanity alone who gets to invoke the name of our Lord, who gets to petition him, who gets to have that relationship with him.
Enter into a relationship with.
Right, that we get to enter into his life, that we somehow...
A personal relationship.
I mean, the concept of prayer, when you really think about what's happening, it's almost scandalous, right, that we would be allowed to do that.
Right.
And then you think, like, how come we do anything else? We should just be doing that all the time, you know, mm-hmm. but which... actually is kind of the goal. We actually do want to pray always without ceasing. It's a circle.
Yeah. So anyway, he has a lot of great points in his little booklet that could really help kind of stimulate your prayer life or help the growth of your prayer life, especially as we enter into 2025 and we're desiring to maybe make some changes, maybe switch up your prayer life or desiring to increase the relationship that you have with Christ. You know, so
before we go, I need to give a shout out.
Okay.
I need to give a shout out to Kelly.
Kelly.
From our fantasy football team.
He won.
Serpent Slayers. Dig the name.
You know who didn't win?
You didn't.
Me.
Last place.
Last place.
Cheers to the... Adam's name is cheers to the champ. To be fair, you did win.
Yeah.
The first year.
Was
it the first year? Maybe it was first or second. It was really
one of the years.
So he changed his name, Cheers to the Champ, because he thought he was, you know, like go on to just like
crush a dynasty.
It. Just yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is the beginning of the dynasty.
Here we go.
The Patriots have nothing on me.
Yeah, like kneel before me and weep.
I haven't won since.
And I will make your death swift. Yeah. You know. So yeah, then you were dead last
this year.
It was
yeah.
You know, it's a tough year. It's a rebuilding year.
It was a rebuilding year. Yeah, we sort went
of
out
like,
there.
Sort of being an OSU Cowboys fan. It's like kind of always. Isn't it always a rebuilding year?
I feel like we played hard, but we need to go back to the drawing board and kind of reevaluate our game plan and our schemes. You know, it wasn't our coach's fault. It really was. I mean, the team.
It was the players. I mean, I think we all agreed that the players were bad. They were the worst
they
players.
Didn't do
the coach was inspiring.
We had some unfortunate events, unforeseen events.
Everyone thinks the coach deserves a raise, actually.
Yeah.
And that the players need to go find somewhere else.
But
to
we're really looking forward to 2025.
Yeah. And the coach did get a raise because we voted. Okay. Well, anyway, congratulations, Kelly.
Way to go, Kelly.
From the Serpent Slayers. So also, congratulations on your name. It's a good name.
It could be Father Kelly.
I don't know because it doesn't say. It I just know. Says...
Kelly.
Won't tell me. I have an email address and a first name.
What's his email address?
I didn't look that up.
I'm just joking.
Anyway,